Helps, which was solved 2012. You're included in that, the anthology. And Best of British Poetry 2010, Southward Edition. He is an Eric Gregory Award winner and was an International Writing Fellow at the University of Iowa in 2010 and 2012, and was the recipient of an Arts Council England grant to research poetry, geology, and climate change. So please welcome Michael.
Thank you for that introduction. Thank you for all coming out this evening. I was in a taxi yesterday from the airport, and the taxi driver said, "Are you here for the jazz?" And I said, "No, I'm here to read poetry." And he said, "Poetry, what a relief." I've never had that before, which is really nice. I'm also really glad to be back, because I was here in 2009 to be here, and thank you to Paul Casey for inviting me back again. This first poem I wrote when I was here, and it is for Paul and Rosie. We went to Alahees in West Cork. As if it wasn't enough that we saw the stone chat on the fence post, feeding its chick on the loose barbed wire, or that we were surrounded by a lush, enriching mist that seemed to hold the land as tight as cuckoo spit. You gave us a happy as Larry, unsuspecting hair, a kestrel high on the hills, snowy moths at the window. You gave us a verdant river thick with ferns, fox gloves, cotton grass, hundreds of wild flowers. Spirit, you gave to us the shadows on relentless tarring rocks, the night clouds sculpting the sky. O spirit of Alahees, you gave us this exclusively, quietly. Then in a second, unfathomable liftoff, you let the sunlight burn through the mist. You gave us the horizon, you gave us eagerness, persistence, you gave us the open road. I'm going to read mostly tonight from this new pamphlet I published called Fossil. I'm not publishing. It's been published called Fossil Sunshine, which is based on a year-long project I've been doing with geologists, looking at geology, the oil industry, and climate change. And I'll start with a poem it's based on set where I grew up in Northampton, near the Giant's Causeway, and it also alludes to a massive instance of global warming 55 million years ago. Tertiary basalts. Crow black, slick as onions, or walk on nails tough for the child with his bamboo crab net. True basalt country. In summer, when you put your hand to it, you could swear to feel the heat of its forging, could believe it would burst like bubbling tarmac. Walking east round Runcorry Point, sheep spread on scatch grass, rumps inked red, the rocks were blacker than ever. Cauldron and demon, kindred spirits of the dark arts. Headlands competed, the humped Sukins and the Grand Causeway, a thick burnt red running through like a layer of jam. Interbasaltic laterite, the field guide says. New words for old familiars. Today, where the rope bridge swings over banded ash and basalt bomb, new land opens south as remnant plug and cinder cone of the North Atlantic slow volcanic rosary. It's full-on carbon dump that made the oceans boil. These, my gnarled, unruly basalts, tumbling from the cliffs to break the waves the way I used to think they always would. They gave to me more pictures than the clouds. I closed the book, put my hand to a large, loose pathway boulder, tried to feel the heat of its forging. Thank you. most, the collection's slightly cut between poems about oil and poems about rocks and fossils. I'm going to read the oil poems tonight. This one is about the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. It's based on a photograph by the artist Edward Brzezinski of the oil spill, and it has as an epigraph a quote from it. If I am photographing a disaster, it's a slow, intentional, incremental one. Riptide. As slow as this, the sudden loss of suction. What's incubated in the depths, now free, swollen, then breathing, breathing and quickening in water, but slowly, salt dark taste, a dim light, a cautious rise, slowly, slower than before, sneaking past dispersant, escaping atomization, finding a way, a slow and steady tear at the seams, the drag eddying north, brackish Mississippi, then quick cold wall of ocean, blue on blue, nowhere to go, the water veined and hard as tattooed leather, you a reef, you some lost mammalian mass washed in by hurricane, eating everything. The next poem is called Pipeline. It's quite long, so now I'm going to keep asking it. This is about a pipeline, an oil pipeline in North America. Pipeline. Out of Hardesty, 4 feet up, zigzagging through conifers, flexing and thinking, the tiniest tilt, leaving the landscape of smokestacks and bitumen, Alberta highlands clutched in pack ice, southering steadily, not slowing, not quickening, kinking past farmyards, barnsteads and combines, crossing the railroad, saying hello to Oyen, so close that its night hum is a dream song of townsfolk, providing upwards of 500 jobs, and then a slow left turn amid into Saskatchewan, fields flaring yellow or ploughed into tweeds, Deer Forks and Happyland, Merv Creek, Excelsior, nothing but flat now, hosting the highway, Humvees and truck stops, log loads and plant hire, kids slapping kids in the back of Corollas, excited and nervy for their week in Regina, Regina the heart of the spider, sending its train legs to Strasbourg, Camp Dundrum, Lumsden and Weyburn. Here it just sneaks past, nothing to freight trains, on again with its stealth, its glimpse through the tree banks, its water or phone lines, its surely just cables. Without even a pit stop, its pierced Manitoba, steady trajectory, knows where it's going, till just south of Lake Manitoba's Black River, a sudden right angle, a little pickup in speed, grey and duffering, rippling past Carmen, Roland then Morden, there it is, it's the border, the lowlands and prairies of warm North Dakota, taking vast empty stretches, hay fields, dry wheat, a glint in the eye for the spirit Lake Sioux, down through the sunflowers, the soybeans and barley, sugar beets, corn, oats and potatoes, without noticing the difference, the other Dakota, making the most of the James River Valley, before the land rises, going into Nebraska, stressing in heat in this drought-hit summer. Over the top of the Ogallala Aquifer for a good 1,000 miles, soon to be more. It's ticking and tensing, alerts the odd muskrat. At night time it's floodlit by curious eyes, raccoons, timid bobcats, mink and black bear, the yipping coyotes swimming in fireflies. And still on its journey, a left at Steel City, touching down in North Kansas for barely an hour, into Missouri, whistling Dixie, kissing the cleft of the Mississippi, then sighing St. Charles, not even a run-up, over the water to west of Illinois, Granite City, Wood River, a first refresh and slow down, then off again east, through Madison, Washington, Jefferson, Clinton, past the strip mall and Jabba House and school canteen, past Furtherfield Fields, ready for harvest, past the Eldon Hazlitt State Park, to the Pacuta Terminal, the terminal stop. Thank you. One of the absolute highlights of the year in this project for me was visiting an oil field in England. I visited the Witch Farm oil field, which is the largest onshore oil field in Western Europe. Oil field. You'd have thought that we were headed into wilderness, crossing the frost-filled marsh through the forest's early cataract of light. Our quiet coach was clocked by longhorn bulls, ghost white in clearances and shaded leaves. And even when we caught first sight of fencing and the nodding donkeys, they somehow looked so incidental, sparse amongst the trees, the distant yachts at Poole. We parked, disembarked. The air was scent our steamed October breath. We smelled just pine. The security guard yelled no photography. We walked up through the forest in a line, then gathered on a ridge above the fence to watch the heaving wells, their duck and pool, their slow lament, or maybe stoic dream. Three kings, commanding and benevolent. How calm it was, the windsock hanging limp. We stayed out of long grass, avoiding ticks, and perhaps it was too cold for dreaded wood ants to materialise. My jeans were stuck in brambles where I plucked a blackberry. And still the only noise, apart from science, apart from average stats, was the bean pump's gentle purr, like an antique singer threaded through with jet, working with a rhythm you would never think so peaceful or so clean. Thank you, and there's a sequence within the collection which is about the Anthropocene, which is essentially what a lot of geologists are calling the new era of epoch of geological time that we're now living in the fact that humans have so affected the world that we have created a new geological epoch. This is the final one of that sequence. And then I'll read some cheerier poems. Plenary. We might consider this balloons of sulphur, about the size of basket blimps tethered at fairs. Balloons of burning particles sent into the stratosphere. Or even this, fixed artillery firing sulphur from the surface and deadly serious, sulphur to reflect the sun, to cool the climate, to give us time. We could even try it with a trillion wrist-thin mirrors. Or we might want to start a nuclear winter. We do this by releasing particles of soot. This is actually the cheaper option and less messy. You don't believe me, but I'm deadly serious. This is where we are. This we must consider. I read a lot of poem now. My partner and I got married a couple of years ago, so I wrote this poem, which is actually, we went to a really horrible wedding once, and this is about, it's not a horrible poem, it's about what happened after the horrible wedding. The first line is the title. Because we could not dance at the wedding, a keelie designed for men and women, not the usual disco in the dark. The second you've one foot into the hushed hotel room, I take your right hand and my left, place my other on your waist, and we move slowly a waltz. Three short steps between the bed and wardrobe, a crisp turn past the television. I've got you, you've got me. Within a minute we work our way up to a bebop, clumsy in the bathroom, out again to the chest of drawers, such a room you couldn't swing a cat in, but you swing me and I laugh like tin pipes. If they could see us now, half cut on smoky eyed vague, exhausted, staggering, my love, we'd cause a sober brawl all right. Earlier today I saw you from below, as if through all the hymns and speeches I was buried, grounded, my limbs constricted. But now I am level-headed with your head, your waltzing eyes, your smile, your breathing, slow, deep, keeping time. I have always believed in a God who dances. This one is, I wrote after a visit to a place in southern France, and it's sort of a mixture of where they had the cave paintings there, but I was in staying in a house and I found this book, which was about how when they found the cave paintings in the village, the people just refused to believe that the cave paintings had not been painted by a little boy who lived in the village. It's sort of about that. The church at Saint-Sulpice backs onto my garden. Rosemary, walnut, netted eggs slung below the peach tree leaves, a widow's charm to keep the leaves from curling. Across the valley, troglodyte houses, their sloped tiles coming from the cliff, topped with a thicket of the coss. Their sunken ovens score the cliff with smoke. The church rings out the Angelus, 81 bells before evening sets in. The North Star comes and farmhounds start to howl. The church at Saint-Sulpice is dark as a cave I went through as a boy, the tunnel scraping damp on shorted knees. When I first lit a match, I thought that Christ was up there on the stony wall, his usual lull, but the light was flaring bison, lions, speckled horses, wildebeest. It stank of gas. I placed my hand in larger blood-red hands. All the believers were non-believers. My father had the birch about my legs. My name rang in the church for the first time. In the church at Saint-Sulpice, I pray for them. The pilgrims on their way to Santiago, 1,000 miles to go, their staffs well scored, the flint music of their boots. But I do not give them bread as others do. They look in on the garden as they pass, and I try to slouch for cover in my chair, in case they'd come and ask what I believe. Once a year I walk a stretch myself, up the steep and narrow path, where limestone jets until you duck, relenting, kneel. The church at Saint-Sulpice has a frieze on its southern wall. Our Lord in Gethsemane, alone but for two tall trees, the night a simple mass of shades of grey rubbed by hand around his body, his hair. He is without a beard. In the middle of the day, when most have gone to sleep, I run my hand over his forehead, follow fissures that start across his leg and up his cloak, Franciscan as the artist was, and shoot like thundercrack to the roof of the church. In the church at Saint-Sulpice, I light a candle for a boy who thought he'd be dead fearless. Followed a pocket of air, cones of limestone dripping, echoing white, the great red bison speared and falling from the cliff, the hunter, his side gorged, stiffening for the fall of death. He ran back towards the crack of light that opened like the windpipe of a smothered whale. He ran across the footprints of a boy who'd gone to paint the day, just what he saw. The church at Saint-Sulpice is covered in martens. They chat and start in groups into the sky, suck flies out of the air, call down, regroup, resettle on the cockerel spire before the quick descent dark to darkness after Angelus. Now there's just a ply plugged into sky, the gassy smudge of the Milky Way. These new satellites speeding occasionally without the salt flare of a shooting star. I can have this conversation to the small hours. Thank you very much. I'll just read two more. This morning when I was not tired from having been at the jazz festival, I went to Cork City Jail because it was the only thing that was open. It was really nice. It was actually nice.
The way you back up.
Anyway, I thought I'd read this because it touches on the famine, which was a big part of the jail today. I've always been very interested in the way that mapping and cartography or physical geography exists devoid of social, you know, the mapping doesn't show the social reality of things. So this poem is by a geologist in Donegal around 1880, the Land League. Hard to keep one history from another, but he kept his head low, used simple tools, notebook and pencil and a good pair of boots, and the lunch prepared in the boarding house if the landlady was willing, which they usually were, this being official scientific business. Today, day three at the Gavara Fault. Moorland, heather and moss, bold naked granite bursting through. He took the path along the widening lake to Glenbey, learned from Mrs. Adair about the last red deer to leave County Donegal, not long back. Did you learn, they'd ask him later in the pub, about Mr. Adair, forcing out them families, most now dead. Hard to counter their talk of agitation and freedom with limestone, to explain how a glacier rolled down this valley, flectured and folded the land. And I'm going to finish with another poem. Thank you very much for listening. It's been lovely to be here again in Cork. I'm going to finish with another poem that I wrote last time, well, I wrote after I was here before. Paul took us on a minibus tour round the West Cork and Kerry, and I wrote this poem about the trip. The minibus. Belting at 60 on the roads of the Beara, black shales and slates sprouting through firs. Our stomachs go heave-ho with each heaving hill, and everything passes like a tumbling falls. Standing stone sheep, abandoned white cottages, lobster pots liners, clutches of toppers, cattle and tractors, the sugarloaf mountains, circling sea eagles, anchors and swells. Then nothing but birds between us and the sheer cliff, out of nowhere a fog and the road disappears. You grab my hand then, as Paul keeps on driving, and we cling to the seats, watch the white wall, and I wonder aloud, would this be so bad? A brazen blue minibus into the sea, a good group of friends, a lover to hold me, last thoughts of fuchsia, foxgloves and ferns. And then we break through, and laid out before us, the wide gullied bay, the eye of Loch Kerrin, and nothing but beauty and boldness and more of the same. Thank you very much.
Well done. We'll take 5 minutes and we'll be back with the open mic, which I'll distribute to anybody who still wants to get on it. And thank you again for my time. And song collection.